references to starting over. But the most important reality that we have, or standing we have, is before Almighty God. And we know from the Bible that we have on our own no right, no justification, no righteousness that we can stand before God on our own. It is before His throne that we all have to stand and give an account of our lives. And if we are honest, if we're really honest, we also understand just what I said, that I cannot stand before the throne of God in my own power, my own righteousness. Why? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All, in Greek, means all. Everybody. On our own, we cannot even be in His presence due to the accumulated sin that we have in our lives. Only if that sin is removed do we dare go before the throne. Now, can we remove this sin by ourselves? Can we live such a good life that we can have right standing before God? Absolutely not. Because we are born with inherent sin. Now, you will have some people that will try to tell you. In fact, I've had this conversation with several people on the Facebook site that I go on for the Southern Baptist Convention this week. They want to say that you are born a blank slate and that you only learn how to sin. Brothers and sisters, that is an error because you are born with the inherent sin of Adam. Why do you have to teach a young person to do wrong? Do you have to teach them to do right? Anybody that's ever had a child or a grandchild, we understand. You have to teach them to do the right thing. They're going to do what they want to do, their selfish nature, their sinful nature, on their own. Don't you ask me how I know this, but you know when you're 6 years old and hit your brother upside the head with a brick, that's wrong. No one taught me to do that. I just did it. Don't laugh. He got me with one of those three-pronged garden trowels in the back of the head about 2 days later, okay? Maybe that's why I am the way I am. But anyway, that's beside the point. Don't you be laughing at me, Teresa. All right. Explains a lot what he's saying. But anyway, we are born with the tendency to do evil, but not only are we born with that tendency, we're born with the desire to do what is wrong. Now, we cannot stand before God like that. On our own, we cannot be in His presence. Only if that sin is removed. No other mortal man can remove our sins either, for they must bear their own iniquities. You cannot bear the sin of another unless you have no sin yourself. Now, notice I said mortal man. There is one God-man. He was all man, and He died physically, but He did not die in reality. He was raised on the third day. He was sinless. Therefore, since He was sinless, He could carry the sins of others upon Himself, and the punishment that was due us because of our sin was placed on Him. As Isaiah the prophet says, God placed on Him the iniquity, the lawlessness, the wickedness, the sinfulness of us all on Him because He knew no sin. He had no sin of His own because He was God in human flesh. What is needed is a man like that, is one who has no sin for themselves. Does this man exist? Yes. He does exist. He's not in the past. That means he didn't die and stay dead. He's in the past, but he's also in the present, and he's also in the future. He will always be because he always was and he always is. And God has used him, God the Father. 2 Corinthians 5:21, a verse that I quote often, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." Now let me read that in the ESV. "For our sake, God made Him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." For our sake. It is for the purpose of the reconciliation, the fresh start, the resetting, that God sent Christ, that we may have the opportunity to start fresh with God. if we don't start fresh. We stand in our sin. We stand in our iniquities. We stand in the wrath and the judgment of God. But with Christ, we stand blameless and fresh. We used to say, as fresh as a newborn babe. But I've delivered quite a few babies, and let me tell you, they ain't that fresh when they get delivered. Some of y'all may laugh at me at that, but y'all tried delivering a baby. I still got scars on my arms from delivering them youngins. Not from the youngin. I don't want to digress too much, but my whole point is, even children that are born, they are born with the tendency to sin. We don't like to think about that, but they are. Now, they have to grow a little bit and have to be able to act and everything. We get that. Christ is more than that. He's fresher. He's more blameless. He is sinless. And brothers and sisters, this Him, this Christ, He is our Lord. Only in Christ are we afforded the opportunity to start over before God, to have the Father reset our lives in Christ the Son. Do we dare overlook or ignore such a great salvation? I, along with Paul, say, God forbid. May it never be. You see, brothers and sisters, the chance, the opportunity to reset our lives to the will and the glory of God is given because He loves us. It's that simple. He loves us. For God showed His love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Not only did He die for us so that the sins would be removed, He was raised on the third day, as we read, that we may have everlasting life. Eternal salvation means eternal life. We will always be before God Almighty, praising and worshiping Him. And for those that say, well, that sounds kind of boring, do you realize what the alternative to that is? I want to be in the presence of God. He's going to give me responsibilities. We read this throughout the parables and throughout the rest of the Bible. We're going to have work to do. We're not just going to be sitting on our angelic wings, which we won't have. That's just a myth we have. I'm going to be sitting on my glorified patukas doing nothing. No, He is going to have us doing things all over the universe for Him, because He loves us and He wants us to have what He's given us. And it's a wonderful thing. He was raised so that we might have everlasting life. And we receive this through faith in Christ Jesus. And once this faith is exercised in Christ, then we can begin to reset, to start over in Him. Now, how is this accomplished? Let's look at verse 23. And He said to them all, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me." Key on this: if any man will come after Me, that implies a choice. If any man will come after Me, you can reject Christ. You can reject the Word of God. But why would you want to? Christ gives us such a great gift. Not only forgiveness and eternal life, but just being in His presence. If any man will come after Me means a choice must be made. A decision must be given. Now, I know that the elect are those whom God has chosen, but in His mercy, He does not allow us to know who that is. So we, on our own, must make that choice. Are we to reject Christ, or are we to accept the truth of the gospel? We must make that decision. We must, in our own lives, consciously choose to follow Him. God knows everything, so He knows our choice. But we must live according to the faith that we now exercise by that choice of Jesus Christ. Thus, if we live in Him, then we are His. His sheep know His voice. Am I right? That means that there are other sheep out there. But His sheep know His voice. His sheep know the Great Shepherd. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and we go to Him. Now, what happens when we get there? How must we act when we come to faith in Christ? Well, the verse says it right there. Let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. That means each day we must take up that cross. Each day we must put on Christ. Every time we wake up, we should thank God that we have another day. And then we must move forward. Now look to the commands of Jesus. We must deny ourselves. This is part and parcel of starting over, of resetting our lives to be in tune with God. Deny ourselves? How? Well, first, put away anything that would pull you away from God. You want to start over? You want to reset? Stop jumping in the old barrel of muck that you just crawled out of. Don't think, don't act, don't desire the sinful and fleshly things that you did before. You want to start over? Trust Him. Get away from anything that pulls you away from God. That means that anything corrupts your understanding of God through Jesus. Get away from it. Get away from it. All personal preferences must be subjected to Christ. If you want to start over, start living for Him, in Him, by Him, through Him. Well, that sounds too easy, preacher. Well, you know He does say that His burden is easy and His yoke is light. You live through Him. But I got all these temptations. Yes. Don't you think Christ went through those temptations? Christ went through every temptation known to man. There's some that are recorded and many that are not. Can you imagine in the garden? Everybody wants to go to the Satan tempted Jesus with the bread and the stone, throwing off the roof and all that stuff. I want to go to the garden. I want to go to the garden when the Son of God could have, as He told Peter, don't you think that I could call down 12 legions of angels and I'd take care of this right now? You know, brothers and sisters, that's why many of us are not in that position, because we would take care of it right then and right now. But if we did, where would our salvation be? Where would it be? He went through what He went through for our sake, the Scripture just read. So we need to put away thoughts, deeds, emotions that deny Christ, and we must accept the ones that reflect Jesus in all the aspects of life. Number two, as far as denying ourselves, we are not to act selfishly. Now, folks, that doesn't mean if you want a ham sandwich, go out and have a ham sandwich, okay? Now, that's just a euphemism, all right? You understand what I'm saying. If you can enjoy something in a godly way, enjoy it. But when that becomes your idol, when that becomes more important to you, you are to deny yourself and follow Christ. And that's a big thing that we have problems with nowadays, preacher included. We want certain things. We want certain actions. We want certain plans. We want to do this. We want to do that. And we will put everything aside to do that. But when it comes time for church, well, it's just church. It's all right. God loves me. If I miss, I'm all right. You know, that's part right. But everything that the devil has that has a kernel of truth is a lot more tempting than those that are just full lies. Brothers and sisters, where does your loyalty lie? If we're to deny ourselves, we're not to act selfishly. We're not to act on emotions, but in the wisdom given by God. Now, He does want you to enjoy the creation that He has given you. He does want you to enjoy the life that He's given you. He came to give you life and more abundantly. But where does your loyalty lie? We are to put away all the encumbrances that keep us tied down, that prevents us from running the race. All these things that acquiesce to our fleshly desires. Well, you know, I feel so bad this morning. I hurt all over. You know, well, why do you hurt all over? Well, I was up late last night with the boys. We were out carrying on. I just don't feel like going. Well, first of all, that ain't no excuse. All right? If you got cancer or sickness or something, that's one thing. But if you were just out partying all night, you better have your ear in church next morning. That's the way I look at it. If you're willing to do that, and you claim to be a follower of Christ, but you're not willing to go worship Him with your brothers and sisters because you were out partying all night with the heathens, now that's some old-fashioned preaching, but that's needed. Some old-fashioned wisdom is needed nowadays. We need to understand the truths that are eternal. We are not to act selfishly and going out and doing everything for yourself and then denying God by not going to worship Him when you are supposed to is an act of selfishness. Number three, and I kind of alluded to these too, we must place Christ above all else. If your adult child denies Jesus, do not let your love for them cause you to also deny Christ. Boy, that hits home for some folks. Somebody want me to stop? Somebody's getting a reset button here. But anyway, you know, a lot of families have to deal with that. A lot of Christian families have to deal with that. They have children or grandchildren that don't want to go to church. So I'm going to miss church so I can be with them. Well, how many times a year do you do that? Christmas and Easter, you know, I can understand that. Easter, I can understand that. When you do it two or three times a month, then you need to readjust your assessment of your relationship with God. What's more important? Well, preacher, you don't understand. I do understand. I understand a lot more than y'all think I do. This ain't my first rodeo. And I do know that there are people that are otherwise good, godly people that have put other things before God. And I'm here to tell you that if you want to reset, if you want to start over, you need to stop doing it. Now, brothers and sisters, not only does this apply to our children in our lives, but our jobs, our schools, our pleasures, our enjoyments. They cannot take precedence over Jesus. Now, again, hear me. You want to go on vacation on a weekend? Go ahead. Enjoy it. Like I said, God has given you things to enjoy. But when it's every other week, and the excuses are, well, it's raining. Well, it's too hot. Well, it's too cold. Well, it's snowing. How many times have I jumped on people for going out and hunting when it's 4 degrees below zero and 6 feet of snow on the ground, but they can't come to church when it's a quarter inch of snow and there's none in the ditches? Brothers and sisters, we've got to be careful. If our job demands our loyalty over Jesus, we need to cling to Christ. Do not let our own desires pull us away from Jesus. Now that's the denying yourself. Now we come up to the taking up the cross. It says, take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, it can't be one separate thing. All of these can't be separate. If any man wants to come after me, then he's deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. It all goes together. Jesus' own words. Well, Paul said that. That wasn't Jesus saying it. All of it's Scripture. But let me tell you, this came out of Jesus' mouth himself. To bear the image of Jesus before the world, your family, your friends, means to put on Christ, cross and all, as you live your daily life. It's not just holidays. It's not just Easter or Resurrection. Easter? Did I say Easter? It's not just Christmas or not just Resurrection Sunday or not just St. Swithin's Day or whatever. No, it's every day. Do you do it? Can you do it? Well, brothers and sisters, Christ commanded it. It's that simple. Just like he said, believe on me. Whoever believes in him, Christ speaking of himself, should not perish. The same mouth, the same God that said that, said this, take up your cross daily and follow me. Christ commanded that we count the cost of taking up the cross before we ever follow him. Now, that's something I've always found interesting. You know, we're such a rush to get our young people to know Christ, as we should, but do we always explain the cost? Luke 14, verse 27 through 33 says this, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What? Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether you have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Think about that, folks. I've seen that. Y'all ever seen that? You can drive on Interstate 20 out there by the golf course around Adams Dairy. They've got something they've been building on for a couple of years now. They got it halfway up and two befores and studded out, and they had to tear the whole thing down and start over. That's what we're talking about here. You cannot build a tower. You cannot raise an army. Let's go into that. Verse 31. Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down and consulteth whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh out against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Now, let me explain something here. That does not mean you walk away from your house and your family and you go live in a cave for the rest of your life. That's not what that means. Some people have taken it for that, but that's not what it means. That means you must be willing, when called upon, to give up everything, including your very life, for the cause of Christ. And I go back. Can you do it? Will you do it? Are you, is your attachment to the earthly things, to the material things, so strong that you're willing to forego your relationship with God Almighty to hold on to something you know you're going to lose anyway as soon as you take that last breath? That's hard stuff. Whereas the burden is easy and the yoke of light and all that. Brothers and sisters, faith is easy. You believe. But once you believe, the responsibility of your faith carries great responsibility. It is an amazing thing for us to understand that we must give up all that we have. Not in the sense that we go out and we put it on the courthouse steps and have it auctioned off. No, that once God calls you to something, you're willing to follow Him wherever He goes. Brothers and sisters, that's what giving up means. Carrying the cross of Christ has a cost. We must give up our lives to gain true life. We must give up the temporary garbage of this world to embrace Jesus' nail-scarred hands. It's that simple. And this is what He meant in our text when He said, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" All of y'all watched the news this week. And being a former submariner, I had great interest in the submarine or the submersible. All right? A submersible can only stay down for a little bit of time. A submarine can stay down for months and a year if it has enough food on board. Who is on that? Well, a couple of scientists, but then very, very, very wealthy people who had everything the world could gain. And in less than 0.02 of a second, they became shark food. And I'm not being silly. When your body is an implosion first, you burn up in less than a millisecond. And then what's left of you gets squeezed out the cracks that came in the thing, into the ocean. Y'all, that's what ends up when you believe in anything other than God. Brothers and sisters, the reason I'm telling you that is they had the whole world, but it was taken from them in less than 0.02 of a millisecond. They no longer had anything except the eternity that they had prepared. I don't know if any of them Christian. Well, I know two of them wasn't. The man from England, actually, he's from Pakistan, and his son, they were Muslim, so they weren't Christian. And then the wealthy British aviation magnate or whatever his name was, he'd been to space. Do y'all know that? He'd been up on Jeff Bezos' rocket, the Blue Origin. He'd been to space. And he paid $250,000. Man, I've heard of expensive funerals, but $250,000 for a funeral is pretty expensive, don't you think? And that's what they end up having. They will never recover the bodies. They will never be known except by bent and broken pieces of metal. What advantage does it have to have the whole world but to lose your soul or your eternal life? Brothers and sisters, when we start over, we are given a gift. When we reset, we are given new life in Christ. So if there was a Christian among the crew, they went, didn't even know it, just poof, they were in the presence of Christ. For to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. The Bible tells us that. There's no intermediate state. There's no floating around in some haunted house or anything like that. If you're dead as a person, you're with Christ. If you are a believer. It's like, and all I can think is if they're one, what am I doing here? I was looking at the Titanic. What? That's how fast life can be taken from you. And you can say the thing being about a wreck on the interstate, or you can say the same thing about someone getting a cancer diagnosis that's terminal. You can say the same thing about many things. If you are in your old life, in your sin and your transgressions, you're bound for judgment. If you have started over, if you have renewed your life, if you've reset your life in Christ, then there is eternity of heaven and paradise and the presence of Christ waiting on you. And that's a miracle. So whosoever will save his life shall lose it. If you want to keep your earthly light and gather in yourselves all the material things, like the old bumper sticker said, he who dies with the most toys wins. That's the world's attitude. But folks, we don't belong to the world. We belong to our Maker. We belong to the Lord Jesus Christ if we are in Him. Jesus allows those who follow Him to reset their lives to the will and the way of the Father. If we do not, then we are stuck in that sin and wickedness forever. Why would you give up that which cannot be lost to keep that which you can never keep? To reset our lives is a great and wonderful event for which no true disciple of Christ can ever be sorry. Thus, the decision placed before you today is that of staying where you are if you do not belong to Christ and starting anew in Jesus. Or even if you are in Christ, turning back to Him, starting fresh with Him, because He tells us in 1 John, that if we confess our sins, then He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing means you're being renewed. You're starting over. The first thing we need to do to accomplish this reset is we acknowledge the Lordship of Jesus. Now that was verse 20. Peter said, "You are the Christ of God. You are the Son of God." When we acknowledge Jesus as who the Bible says He is, that's the first step of the reset. Second, we must submit ourselves to His will and to His way. That's verse 23. It says, "And He said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We submit ourselves to the will and the authority of God by being obedient to His word. We must take up that cross in such a way that the world cannot doubt who we are and whom we serve. No doubt, based on our actions, our words, and our behavior of who we are. Does that mean we're going to be perfect? No, but it means we want to be. It means we do everything we can within our power. But Christ is the one who gives us the power. And the third thing for the reset, first acknowledging the Lordship of Jesus, and second submitting ourselves to His will and way. Third is we must follow Christ all the way up Calvary, verse 23, and follow me. Jesus gets into some pretty tight spots sometimes, folks. He really does. But we must bear His image before the world. We must bear the cross before the world. As the two disciples before the Sanhedrin said, we must obey God rather than man. Now, folks, you want to see that get into a sticky situation? You go to any governmental hall, you go to any school board meeting, you go to any, they can say any religious name, they can talk about Buddhism, they can talk about Confucianism, they can talk about Islam, they can talk about Hinduism, but you mention the name of Christ and the rats come out of the woodwork. They will do everything in their power to silence you or, if necessary, destroy you. Not only by death, but by destroying your reputation, by destroying your job, by destroying you because you have dared name the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we think it's so much worse today. It's kind of always been that way. Even when we were closer to God in a societal way, there were still those in elite power status that when you brought in Jesus, there were even some within the church. You brought in this Jesus, not the Jesus we preach, but the Jesus of the Bible, you're going to have problems with us. Why? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. Not tradition. Not man's way of doing things. But by Christ. We must suffer for His name's sake if necessary. Do you remember when those two disciples were beaten, but they went home praising God that they had been counted worthy to suffer for His sake? Boy, don't preach that nowadays. Better not say that. We don't want to suffer. We just want what we want. We want to sit at home in our easy boy and play our video games and watch our sports and not be bothered when it comes to something of Christ. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I understand that emotion. There are times when I feel tired. I was talking with one of my brothers out this morning, talking about how, you know, I need a vacation, at least a day, go camp out in the Jeep somewhere in the trees, just read my Bible and kind of reset that way. We all need that. We all need to get away. Didn't Jesus go into the mountaintop by himself to pray? We all need that at times. But the questions of all, can we do these things? Can we acknowledge the Lordship? Can we submit ourselves and can we follow Christ? Yes, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not on our own, but the Holy Spirit of God. So the question is, brothers and sisters, are we wallowing in sin? Of course, if you're blinded by the evil one, you will not see the filth in which you stand. You know, you stand in the middle of a pig pen and you're wearing dark welder's glasses, you probably don't see the muck between your toes. And that's kind of what it's like. We're in filth. You're in the cow stall and you've been cleaning it out, but you don't see it because you got blinders on. You cannot see death's grimy and corruption-filled fingers grasping desperately at you to keep you in the darkness. We can break free from death and hell. We can come to the light of Christ and see what needs to be done for you to believe and be saved. That's the reset. That's the starting over. In eternity, that's the clean start that you need as found in Christ. Why? Because all those that call on the name of the Lord in faith and repentance shall be saved. You got to believe on Him before you call on Him. You know, if I'm getting in trouble and I shout out, "Oh, George Washington, please help me." George ain't doing nothing. He's asleep at Mount Vernon, okay? And I wouldn't believe that he would be able to help me. But I do believe that God, who never slumbers and never sleeps and is not dead and who is alive and who is coming again, will help me when I call him. For all those that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, are you a believer but still in doubt? Jesus calls you also to return and start afresh in him. He will cleanse you, as we talked about it, from all unrighteousness, and He will keep you with Him forever. You know the answer. You would not have believed that in Him in the first place. You know He's speaking the truth. So what do we need to do? We need to reset our life in the power of Jesus Christ. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide us in all that we do. So are you a faithful follower of Christ? If you are, pray that the Father will keep you from temptation and allow you the strength to follow Jesus even closer than you're doing now. So there we have three people, three different kinds of people that can reset and start over. First, those that don't believe. Absolutely, you can start over by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are forgiven in Christ. You stand before God blameless. You stand before the God whole, and you can enjoy all the benefits of faith and repentance in Christ. And if you are a believer, but you kind of backed away, come back to Christ. And He will start you over. He will refresh you. He will give you everything you need to be the powerful man or woman of God that He's called you to be. And if you already are a powerful man or woman of God, stay where you're at. And let God give you the instructions you need to go and live your life as He has called you to do. The greatest gift God gives outside of Jesus Christ Himself is the ability to start again in Jesus. Start what? Your life, your situation, your relationship with God and with others. A clean start is a wondrous thing to experience. May God grant you the reset you need, and may He give you the opportunities to utilize it. The opportunities to be that man or woman of God who carries their cross daily and follows Him. Praise Team. You know, other than the person that said, one moment, please, I think I don't need to stay here and say the same thing that I just got through saying. If you don't know Christ, now's your opportunity. If you do know Him, but you backed away, come back to Him. And if you do know Him, and you're strong in the faith, pray for those that need Him. And then we can all, brothers and sisters, start over. You see, there's that one day in our future where we're going to have a permanent starting over. One good thing about God gives us here on earth is we mess up, we can start over, and then if we mess up again, He allows us to start over again, because each time He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, right? So He gives us the opportunities to start over when we make mistakes. Now, this is not living in sin and rebellion. This is not purposefully, well, I'm going to do what I want to do, and, you know, I got my fire insurance. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But when we honestly make mistakes and we pull away from God, He gives us every opportunity as long as we draw breath. How many times did He tell Peter to forgive those that came to Him? And don't you think that He would forgive us when we come to Him a lot more than 490 times? I think if I count up my whole life, I'm somewhere in the 10,000 to 12,000 range. And I'm not being facetious. Brothers and sisters, we know we need Christ. Let's start over right here, right now, and be a God-honoring, faithful congregation who loves God more than anything else and will work to bring His glory to those who don't know.